Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Friday off a great Thursday night NFL game live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. I am smoking hot off a blazing five that was almost burnt the building down. Had Kirk Cousins Monday Night Football, had Russell Wilson last night on fire. 1 hour from now, my blazing five picks. I like him again this week. Maybe not as much as last week, but I like him. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. That game was awesome last night.
Seahawks won. You know, it is interesting. I found it fascinating last night. If you give Russell Wilson, just a little bit of a running game. Oh, my. He was quite good. If you give him a little bit of defense, not even great, he was quite good, wasn't he? 23 of 28, 200 yards, 2 TDs, no picks, and a quarterback rating of 120, and better than Kyler Murray, who everybody now loves. That's interesting. I'd like to thank Seattle offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer for watching our show apparently last week. NFL fans, and I can be guilty of this, have a very short memory. Patrick Mahomes is the new league king, right? Do you know what Patrick Mahomes was through the first 10 games last year? 6-4. That's it. 6-4. Kansas City's defense in the first 10 games last year was 19th in the league. They needed him to do more. Mahomes, throw more, run more, make more plays. And then in the last 6 games, the Chiefs' defense was number 1 in the NFL. And what was his record then? 6-0. And that defense also carried him to the Super Bowl championship. Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl. It was the year his defense was top 5. When you don't have a defense like Patrick Mahomes early last year or Aaron Rodgers much of his career or Russell Wilson last 2 years, you are asking in a league with some of the great athletes in the world to make more plays and take more risks. And guess what? You make more mistakes. Both those quarterbacks last night are fantastic. Russell's better, of course, at this point. They put on a show, but there is this weird belief, and I've seen it with Steph Curry, that, you know, it's a little lucky, Seattle, Marshawn Lynch, Legion of Boom, Pete Carroll carrying Russell Wilson. When I can make an argument, they had a losing record in Seattle under Pete Carroll for 2 years until Russell Wilson arrived. By the way, Seattle's defense wasn't even great last night. I'm not even sure it was good. It was acceptable. The receivers, DK Metcalf, dropped one touchdown and probably two. They weren't great. And oh, by the way, Seattle was once again a penalty-filled mess. They had 8. It's not like he got great support last night. He just got some support last night. And great quarterbacks, they don't need everything. Big Ben's running game at Pittsburgh is not very good right now. They can't run the football. He's 9-0. Aaron Rodgers is 7-2. And Green Bay has one trustable big-time wide receiver and can struggle against the run. Russell Wilson doesn't need everything. He just needs something. And last night he got something. He got a running game. He got a running game. Pete Carroll talked about it after the game. This kind of felt like that bruising running game with Carlos Hyde. It kind of felt like the old Seahawks.
It felt like the Seahawks, you know. It felt like the Seahawks that we've all seen over the years. Carlos did a great job tonight. He did exactly what we needed. We needed him to run hard and run tough, knock people backwards and make extra yards with you know, his juice.
You know, it is interesting. When you're different, maybe a little smaller, you're not as cool, not beloved on Twitter, people are reticent to embrace you. And Russell Wilson last night surpassed Peyton Manning for the most wins through 9 years, and he surpassed Tom Brady in the most wins plus playoff wins through 9 years. Statistically, he's way better than Peyton Manning was at this point. But Aaron Rodgers was given the mantle 3 years into the league because Aaron looks like quarterbacks have looked, mostly a pocket guy. He's got a big arm. He's got a little swag. He's kind of cool. And so he just said, "You the man." Russell's never had an MVP vote. He plays the position differently. He's kind of small. He runs around more. Now, today you're saying, Colin, quarterbacks run around all the time. They didn't when he came into the league 9 years ago. Kyler Murray would have played baseball. He would not have been drafted. Baker Mayfield would not have been drafted. Johnny Manziel would not have been drafted. Steph Curry and Russell Wilson have changed the game. But Steph isn't internet cool. Those shoes he wore were awful. I mean, I liked them, but I'm not cool. And, you know, whenever the players in the NBA are asked about the guys they respect, Westbrook gets way more respect. He's fashionable. He's cool. He's physical. Steph really isn't. But we play basketball, high school, college, and pro, international, differently because of Steph Curry. And NFL teams now draft the most important position differently because of Russell Wilson. And that's not to say Aaron Rodgers isn't great. But Aaron is kind of your prototypical, got an ego, got a big arm, mostly in the pocket. We love Green Bay. Seattle's a non-traditional power, right? Like, we didn't talk about Seattle before Russell Wilson. But that's just the reality of it. Russell Wilson's never needed everything. He just needs something. And last night he got a really good running game. And that was something enough. All right, this surprised a lot of us. So Drew Brees gets hurt, banged up ribs. And so we all assumed, I did, well, Taysom Hill will back up now Jameis Winston. And it comes out this morning that actually Taysom Hill took the starter reps, and he's going to be the starter. And there's going to be no Jameis Winston. And it's going to be all Taysom Hill. I talked about this a couple days ago. I don't think Twitter's real life because I look at resumes. And I think if you've done a good body of work in your life, you get a bad day or a bad pass or a bad sentence or a bad moment. On the internet, you can be a schmuck your entire life, but if you're good on YouTube for 5 minutes, suddenly you're Barack Obama. You're Ronald Reagan. You're a global figure. I'm going to trust the Saints on this. Mickey Loomis may be the best general manager in the league. Go to the last five or six Saints drafts. They don't whiff on anybody. They hit on almost everybody. So that's one of the brain guys. Sean Payton, he's really good at offense and stuff. He's at the practices. I'm not. I'm going to trust him. I mean, Jameis, to me, feels like the better fit long term. But maybe for the week, Taysom's the better fit. Ask yourself this. And people say, Colin, you've been down on the Saints for the last couple of years. And I have been. And here's why. I want you to think about this. The New Orleans Saints do not throw the ball down the field. What would the Kansas City Chiefs be if you took away Patrick Mahomes' deep ball? What would the Seattle Seahawks be if you took away Russell Wilson's deep ball? What would Big Ben's career be if you took away the deep ball? The Saints have gone 13-3, 13-3, and 7-2. They don't throw the deep ball. It's insane. That's why I've been down on them. They have six completions over 20 yards, being air yards. Green Bay's got 24, 23, four times. It's why I have my issues with Green Bay. But in the NFL, you got to get occasional cheap touchdowns. I mean, if you really watch Russell Wilson play, if you watch the Seahawks under Pete Carroll, they pound, 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 suck you in, go over the top. That's the whole game plan. Pound, 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 pound. People come in, suck you in, and Russell throws the best deep ball. Kansas City, by the way, likes to run the football more than you think. They pull you in. You can't double cheetah because of Travis Kelce. And they go the deep ball. New Orleans doesn't throw it. 13-3, 13-3, 7-2. And by the way, favored this weekend by over a field goal. So this is one of those things where I'm just going to trust New Orleans. It doesn't feel like the move I would make. And for the record, long term, I think Jameis is the more franchisey quarterback, but maybe for the week, because none of us have ever seen Taysom Hill start, he's got 18 career passes, not touchdowns, passes in the NFL. It's a division rivalry. Jameis, by the way, has struggled in his career against Atlanta. He has. That's indisputable. 1-5. So maybe Sean Payton, who knows the NFC South really well, said, you know, this week, they don't know what the hell Taysom Hill is. They've never seen him. They don't have any idea. And the element of surprise is our friend. And we think we can hold them down under 25 points, 26 points. But I do think resumes matter. I mean, I'll give you an example. The LA Clippers this week traded Landry Shamet. And I really like him. But I was like, okay, well, I saw what Jerry West did in Memphis and Golden State and the Lakers and now the Clippers. And I'm like, all right, he knows more than I do. I'm going to trust him on that. Like, I like Landry Shamet. I like him. Everybody I know likes him. I think the Clippers liked him. But they suddenly traded him. Okay, I'll just trust Jerry West. Your resume matters. Saints, Mickey Loomis, Sean Payton, at least for a week. Now, maybe by halftime Sunday, I think they're crazy people. But for this week, they see something, they know something. I'm not there. I'll trust them. For a week, I trust their decisions. They're smarter than mine.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So last night's game on Fox, I thought was really, really good and entertaining, wildly entertaining. And I understand the comparisons to Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. We all do. It's not a surprise. But there is a distinction. And I thought you really saw it last night. When Russell Wilson runs, he's running because it feels like, oh, something's not right here. Let me get a first down and we can start our series over. When Kyler runs, it feels like they broke the huddle and Kyler was going to run. There is a distinction. When Kyler runs, it's a huge component to the offense. When Russell runs, something broke down. Somebody ran the wrong route. The coverage is excellent. Let me go pick a first down up and let's start again. That's what it always feels like to me. So Kyler last night only rushed five times for 15 yards and no touchdowns. And the Arizona offense did not feel as dynamic. It did not feel as dangerous. It didn't because he ran less. Russell ran it 10 times for only 42 yards. And it felt like that's the exact number he should run for about 40 yards. Because Seattle's offense always feels like at its best is what it was last night, which is pound the rock, control time of possession, suck the defense up, and then let the best deep ball thrower in the world, Russell, twice, deliver a little throw pillow over the top of the defense for a touchdown. That's what it feels like it's designed for out of the huddle. We're just setting them up. We're setting them up. We're setting them up for the big trap. And then Russell will run because it's like, oh, our right tackle missed a block, or, oh, my receiver fell around the wrong. He's just running. Okay, let me get a first down, and then we'll start again, and we'll suck him in, and we'll suck him in, and we'll suck him in. It always feels like the deep ball is the end game for Seattle, whereas the end game for Kyler when they break the huddle is we're going to annoy you for 4 hours, and many of these will break. And last night when they didn't have great rushing attempts for Kyler, the offense doesn't feel the same. And by the way, I do not love ball-centric point guards in the NBA. Westbrook drives me nuts. Right? I don't love quarterback-dominated or centric teams, meaning the Packers always feel too reliant on Aaron Rodgers. I've defended him there. They butchered this past draft. They didn't get him any playmakers. He needs another playmaker on the perimeter. So I don't love teams. This is why I love what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing, which is the league average is you throw 35, 36 times. Kansas City's down to 30. I feel Houston is totally reliant on Deshaun Watson as a human life preserver. I think Green Bay, this is why I think they butchered the draft. Give Aaron help. Stop this building for the future. Get him players. Okay, he has two backs. He doesn't need a third for the depth chart. He needs a wide receiver and maybe a vertical tight end. So I thought there was a real distinction last night. Kyler didn't run as much. They weren't as dynamic. You know, Russell's not as dynamic running, but it felt perfect for Seattle. And they didn't play great. DK Metcalf dropped a touchdown, or maybe it's not that close.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Last night, we didn't think would be an ugly game. Last night, we thought would be a dynamic game because we had dynamic quarterbacks and not really great defenses. So we thought there'd be a lot of scoring and a lot of big plays, and there were. The ugliest game of the weekend between two very capable teams, the Packers and the Colts. Aaron Rodgers is good with a lead. He's good when he's comfortable. He's good in the pocket when it's clean, and he's good when he's comfortable. He will not be this weekend. And if you want me to believe Green Bay can run through the playoffs, prove it to me this weekend, because I don't think they will. Aaron Rodgers this year has 26 touchdowns and one interception against everybody not named Tampa. Against Tampa, he has no touchdowns, two picks. Why? Because they sacked him a couple times, they hit him 11 times, and his body language changed by the second quarter. That is my knock on Aaron. Patrick Mahomes, his career now is defined by his ability to come from behind. That now defines his arm and his ability to be down big. Patrick Mahomes, 5-0 last year when trailing by 10-plus points. Patrick Mahomes has won 65% of his games when trailing. That is remarkable for a young quarterback. Aaron's a veteran. He's won only 47% of his games if he even ever trails by a 3-0 score. People forget what the Super Bowl was. Patrick Mahomes got hit 7 times. He got sacked 4 times by the 49ers. He had 2 picks and played poorly. Patrick Mahomes was rushed the entire Super Bowl, yet he had a great fourth quarter. I never see that with Aaron. So this weekend is going to be ugly. Russell Wilson, for a long time, defined himself by the ability to come from behind. Tom Brady has always defined himself in the Super Bowls by no touchdowns early, the best touchdowns late. This is going to be an ugly game for Green Bay because only one team has forced more picks than Tampa's defense, the Colts. And the Colts' defense is also allowing the lowest passer rating in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers has always been great on a sunny September day in a sports car with the roof down. He is the best, the coolest, the best. Get the SUV. It's raining sideways. It's not the same driver. So this weekend, go in ugly, because it'll be ugly. And there won't be a lot of 11-play drives, and you're going to have to make stuff up, and Aaron's going to get hit, and he's going to get sacked, and he's going to have bad throws. Go in ugly. Ben does it. Russell does it. Mahomes is defined by it. Do it. Here's another thing. I want to talk about this because Kevin Clark just did. And so my rule has always been, don't be real. Don't spend too much time criticizing college athletes. Maybe once you're like a Heisman winner or a star, you know, you've been in college a while, you're like 22, 23, then I'll take a shot if you do something stupid. But, you know, college basketball players, you know, we pick these kids apart. They're like 18. Okay, they're 18. And even in college football, just, you know, Trevor Lawrence now I could criticize. He's been in the spotlight. He's got a bunch of starts. He's a grown-up now. He's got his driver's license. He can go have a beer in college. I could criticize him now. But I was pretty tough on Baker Mayfield. And a lot of times when I do this, I've always said this. My job, I believe, is once you're like your last year in college on, I'm going to have a strong opinion on you. Because first of all, it's more fun. I'm going to take a side. I'm for you, not against you. And so when I am critical of somebody, I never have a problem turning on him. Kyler Murray, I'm like, too short. Game 2, I'm like, okay, I was wrong on that. He's really good. Joe Burrow, I was like, he's Tony Romo. Maybe, and that, by the way, is not bad. But I have no problem going, okay, this is what I saw, and I'm wrong. But with Baker Mayfield, the criticism was harsh, and much of it was because he was so cocky. If he would have been humble, a little humility, not grabbing stuff and running from people, it would have been different, obviously. But I haven't talked a lot of Baker Mayfield over the last couple of months. I mean, I talk quarterbacks. That's what I do. I don't talk NFL. I talk quarterbacks. And part of it is I don't want to be mean-spirited. He's just not. It's the book is in. He is a bad NFL quarterback when under pressure. And the whole damn league's about how do you play in pressure. Everybody's good when the pocket's clean. Case Keenum went 13-3 when he had weapons and the pocket was clean. Everybody can win when the pocket's clean. But under pressure, according to Pro Football Focus, he's the 38th best quarterback in the NFL with a 30 quarterback rating under pressure. The book is in. He's just not that special. He's not as accurate as Tua. He doesn't have the natural gifts of Josh Allen or Justin Herbert. I don't think he's as focused or as athletic as Lamar Jackson. And I'm just talking about the kids. I'm not even talking about Derek Carr, or he's not as accurate. Patrick Mahomes, not as great. And I'm just talking AFC. And the other thing was, I try to contextualize it. He's got great weapons. Their offensive line now has 2 really good tackles and a really good center. They've got above-average wide receivers and their tight ends. They went and got Austin Hooper, who was good, and David Njoku, and 2 great backs and an offensive-minded coach. In fact, he's had offensive-minded coach his entire time. And so my takeaway is, why pick on him? The book is in. He's not special. He's not special arm. He's not special size. He's not special athletically. Accuracy was always his thing, and he's not. Once he's out of a clean pocket, he's bad with accuracy. So, and that's the thing. I'm not saying I'm always right, and when I'm wrong, I'll acknowledge it. But I don't want to pick on him. Like at this point, you say, what about Sam Darnold? I don't think he's been given a fair shot in the NFL. They're awful everywhere. So I don't talk Sam Darnold much anymore because he's been bad. I've said this multiple times. He can't stay healthy. Mono injury. Sam never plays. Like Eli Manning was far less athletic and never got hurt. Sam's way more athletic. He's always hurt. So at some point, Sam Darnold and Carson Wentz, I love you both, but you guys are reckless. Eli Manning knew his limitations. Brady knows his limitations. Peyton knew his limitations. Darnold and Wentz, they play like linebackers. So, but I'll admit when I'm wrong. What fans won't do is ever admit they're wrong. Admit it with Baker. He's just not special. You watch Tua in his first couple games, you're like, oh, damn. Now, we knew he was accurate, but God, he's poised. And you watch Burrow, and you watch Josh Allen, and you see an it, a thing, an arm, a size, a special. I don't see it. In fact, what I see is he unravels immediately. And for the record, two words, unravels quickly. Who unravels quickly? People that are highly emotional. Wasn't that my knock on Baker in college? He kind of unraveled in crisis, sometimes with video. He unraveled quickly. You just become a heightened version of what you are in college. That's all pro sports is. It's just the same game, way faster and way harder. I've always said if you're a typist and you type 75 words a minute, and then somebody asks you to type 105 words a minute, you'd have to be pretty special to do it with as many mistakes or as few mistakes. Most people can't go 75 words a minute to 105 words a minute unless they're special. You make more mistakes. That's big. NFL is just college faster. And if you're not special, you're just not good enough.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you like.
My coach of the year today in the NFL would be John Gruden. And there's been a lot of good coaches. I mean, I think what Brian Flores is doing is remarkable. But first of all, they had to move. In the history of the NFL, teams that move are usually garbage their first year. Remember the Rams moved to L.A.? Remember that first year? Unwatchable. Secondly, they've had two major COVID outbreaks, one this week. And yet, they've beaten Drew Brees and the Saints handily, and they've beaten the Kansas City Chiefs. I've always felt that even the NFL, especially with like a college basketball or baseball or NBA, certain teams winning makes it better. And obviously, when the Lakers and LeBron win, it's better for the NBA. You know, if Notre Dame or Ohio State wins in college football, USC, you know, it's better. Yankees in baseball, Dodgers, Cubs, whatever. But I do think the Raiders are one of seven or eight brands in the NFL that are really good. I think the Bears have one, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Steelers. But I also believe John Gruden, like Mike Tomlin, is just good for the league. The more he talks, the better it is. He's got this alpha male thing going, and I like it. But what's really interesting about Gruden, he was out of the league for 10 years, and I was a total cynic. And then he hired Mike Mayock, who'd never been a GM, never worked in a front office. I was a total cynic. But what's the best thing about John Gruden? I don't know about you, but to people that make excuses drive you nuts. They do with me. It's a pet peeve. You can't have any excuses. John Gruden has just ended your excuses in Jacksonville, in Detroit, in Atlanta, in Houston. He gets a team. He's been out of the league for 10 years. He hires a GM who's a TV analyst. They have to move. They are next to Jacksonville, the poorest revenue team in the league. They have no fans, Raider Nation, which has always been it's an intimidating crowd. And they are loaded on offense. They've beaten Mahomes and Drew Brees. No more excuses. That's what do you do as coach of the year with what you have? Sean McDermott didn't have to move. Brian Flores didn't have to move. When you have to move, two major COVID outbreaks, listen, Vegas is different. The league is a bunch of 26-year-old men. They're alphas. Vegas is not Buffalo, okay? It's a little tougher there. It is tougher to win in Miami. I mean, it's Miami. It's a port city. There's a lot to do. Outside of Applebee's, Green Bay gets very lonely in the fall. And so you're moving a team, not just the team, you're moving them to Vegas. You got a GM you've never had. He wasn't the GM you initially inherited. They've nailed, I mean, they've had some whiffs, but when they've had whiffs in the draft, I don't need to name them, they've moved off them. They drafted one kid, he couldn't handle Vegas. They moved him out of town. But when I look at it, all the excuses for Detroit and Atlanta and the Chargers and Jacksonville, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in your excuses because Gruden's winning and Mayock's winning and the Raiders are winning and they should not be winning and the league is better for it. And you know what? Urban Meyer has talked about this before, is that when you, and Urban Meyer four times went to a college team and won very next year. Urban says a lot of times coaches go to a new program and they dog cuss the guys they didn't recruit. Those are not my guys. And Urban's like, no, they are your guys. You're the coach of Bowling Green. Those juniors and seniors, those are your guys, even though you didn't recruit them. That is now your family. It's like stepkids. They're my family. And Derek Carr may not be the quarterback that John Gruden would have drafted. But when John Gruden got to Oakland, Derek Carr, his record was 6-9. He had 22 DDs, 13 picks, and a quarterback rating of 86. It has gone up every year, and he now defends him publicly. Three straight years. Now his quarterback rating today is 107, 16 TDs, 2 picks. So when you go to a new team, there's a bunch of guys that you probably wouldn't have drafted, acquired, traded for, or recruited, but they are your players. And Derek Carr today is a borderline Pro Bowler because John Gruden didn't whine. He didn't say, not my guys. He's like, this is my guy. And I'm going to make this guy the best he's ever been. And this is the best Derek Carr has ever been. And it's really impressive. So I don't want to hear excuses. Oh, we can't hold a lead. That is a you problem. Because the Raiders don't have a good defense either. And every week, Joy and I are like, they're boring, but they keep winning games. Mahomes, Breeze, they keep winning them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Michael Robinson, interesting, goes to Penn State. And Michael is one of these guys that is so talented. He quarterbacked, he was wide receiver, he was running back, and he goes and plays for the Seahawks for 4 years and the Niners for four. So they were big rivals at the time. He went to a Pro Bowl, he won a Super Bowl, and it's interesting, we're talking about Taysom Hill, who is the Swiss Army knife of the NFL now. And Taysom does a little bit of everything, and Michael Robinson, the former NFL fullback, and now with the NFL Network, is now joining us live. So let's start with Taysom Hill. It's not easy. So at Penn State, you know, it's almost like, Michael, you're so talented. You can play a bunch of different positions. The downside is you feel like your whole career is, does anybody really love me or they all just like me? So with Taysom Hill, how hard is it going to be from gadget guy and multiple guy to, hey, it's an NFL game, you're starting. How hard was it for you?
Yes, I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for Taysom. I mean, it wasn't that difficult for me because I came in and I played running back. I actually, when in 2010, when Seattle, when we beat the Saints in the playoffs, that beat the Beastquake game and all of those types of things. After the game, I went up to Coach Sean Payton and he looked me in the eyes. He said, hey, bro, I wanted you. You're one of the guys that had a special skill set. So it's not surprising that Taysom Hill is doing well with the New Orleans Saints. To me, the surprise was that they paid him $10 million a season earlier, I mean, before the season started. To me, that was the surprise because I didn't think that he had thrown enough passes or shown enough that he could just be a every down quarterback in the National Football League. So that surprised me that they signed him for that money. But once they signed him, it wasn't a surprise that they called him the starting quarterback this week. He's been there the longest. He has the most continuity with all the receivers and things like that. And he knows the system. And guess what? He does not turn the ball over, or at least yet.
Yeah, and it is interesting because when I think of quarterback, I think reps. And you, Michael, and Taysom, you don't get those reps. I mean, if you're a backup quarterback, you don't get reps in the NFL during practice. How many, I mean, like Taysom this year, is he getting any first team reps outside of this week at all?
Maybe some on a Saturday walkthrough. You know, so Coach Payton and the Saints are going through emergency situations where he may have to go in at quarterback. That may be the only time. But when you're playing a position like Taysom Hill, you have to be very observant at practice because, again, you may be – I was the same thing as Taysom. I was practicing special teams, and I was a personal protector on punt while the quarterbacks and wide receivers are doing something on the other field. So you're missing out on stuff. So you have to be very observant. You have to be very like a sponge and take everything in. But I think Taysom will do well just simply because you have the right play caller. You have Sean Payton. I don't think he's going to call anything that this kid can't do.
So I'm a huge Russell Wilson fan, but I do think Russell's at his best, and I think he's as good a football player as the world has, but I think he's at his best when you ask him to throw 26 times, he completes 21, and I always felt Russell runs to just get a first down and reboot the downs. Kyler runs, it is part of the mission out of the huddle. And so when I watched him last night, and you know Russell very well, you were in Seattle. Mm-hmm. How does he view running? How did you feel Russell ran when you were there? Were they designed, or was it just like, okay, something broke down, let me get a first down?
You talk about me knowing Russell. Let me tell you something. That kid, Russell Wilson, was at the state championship my senior year. He was a seventh grader. We're from the same area. So I know Russell very, very well. And I look at Russell. He's not a Cam Newton or a Lamar Jackson. He is a passer with scrambling ability. So it's different. Lamar Jackson's a runner, okay, that has a special ability to throw the football. Cam Newton, to me, is a runner. Okay, he's a little bit different of a runner, but he's a runner who can throw the football. Kyler Murray may be the fastest or the quickest to accelerate in the National Football League. And so, to me, when Kyler runs the football, it's just a little bit different. As you can see on the video right here, Russell only runs when he has to.
Yeah.
And he's running just to move the sticks. Unless it's in the fourth quarter, he's running to win the football game.
Yeah. It is Kyler's really interesting. Ask yourself this. If you were a senior now, mm-hmm, at Penn State, okay, with Kyler's success, and because I think Russell got Kyler drafted, but the bottom line, 8 years, 10 years ago, guys like you came out and they're like, "Oh, come on, I mean, it's a bunch of stuff."
It's crazy.
Would
man.
You be seriously? If you, I go back to your last year, you quarterbacked 12 games for Penn State. If yep. you came out today, have you ever thought, oh, "I'd be a first round quarterback"?
Man, who you telling, man? I think about it damn near every day, bro. Are you kidding me? The money that the quarterbacks are making right now, of course I think about that. I honestly think I was 10 to 15 years too early.
Yeah.
You think about the year that I was coming out. I mean, the four BCS winners, myself, Troy Smith, Pat White, and DJ Shockley. And I think, and Vince Young. And Vince Young was the only one of these movement types of quarterbacks in that class to get an opportunity to play the quarterback position. I just think the NFL is starting to catch up with college, Colin. That's what it is. The NFL game is changing right before our eyes.
So, you know, Tua, Burrow, Justin Herbert, they all work. And I said, I was really tough on Baker Mayfield when he came out of college. I didn't like the video with police. I thought, I didn't like it. I just said, hey, man, that's not my franchise quarterback. I'm not saying you have to be a choir boy, but I'm out on that. I was out on Johnny Manziel. He was too cocky. But now I've kind of peeled off Baker. And my takeaway is, listen, sometimes the world around you changes. Okay, like you may not want to change, but I look at Tua and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and I watch Baker and I'm like, oh, bro, he ain't good enough. Like, the league's too good. Like, in 2-3 years, the league's better. I'm just talking about AFC quarterbacks. And it's not a shot at Baker. But today, if I'm Cleveland, I got eyes. He's the fourth best quarterback in his division. Is he not? Mm. Like, I just look at Baker and I think to myself, I'm done picking on him because the world changed. He had a ceiling. He's hit it. I've seen it. I'm kind of out in it. Is that fair?
Man, Colin, stop picking on Baker, man. Baker going to tweet you something, man. He going to send a video your way, man. But look, when Baker has to go through two or three reads and he has to reset his feet, he's just below average quarterback. When he knows where he's going with the football and he has play action involved, he is above average quarterback. I don't think Baker Mayfield was ever elite, so to speak. And I think this year he's finally got with a system that works. Kevin Stefanski, he has this offense rocking, and it's based off of the run game. And see, I look at Baker Mayfield, he's not a top dog. And when I say that, he's not the show or the main focal point of an offense. He's just complimentary. And that's okay. That's okay to play complimentary football as the quarterback of your team. You just have to understand that and just live in that role. And I think Baker has to choose what he wants to be. Does he want to be a tough guy? Right. And say things and walk around like I'm dangerous and this, that, and the third. Or do you want to be just a franchise quarterback and do the right things on and off the field and be a leader of men? Baker has to make a decision.
Yeah. Like sometimes people say Russell Wilson's not cool. And I admit he came out with a fragrance this week that smells like love. It's not my thing, man. I mean, I love the guy, but it's just not my thing. But there is people pick on me for this. Even Joy rolls her eyes, is that there is something to be said about being presidential as a president and being, okay, I call it quarterbackial as a quarterback. Sometimes you can't be the funniest guy, the glibbest guy. Sometimes you got to play it straight. Like, did you feel that with Russell Wilson?
Absolutely so. I'll tell you a quick story. In 2012, his rookie year, right after his rookie year, he came to my football camp here in Richmond, Virginia. All of the leaders of our team was there. We had a whole bunch of people there. And his old high school, collegiate high school, he had some of his old guys in town. And he brought a limo to the club that night, Colin, okay? He wore a Carlton Banks sports jacket. And he had a whole bunch of Carlton Bankses with him, okay? It was all good. And we were like, dang, man, Russell, he's kind of square. But he's our square. And it was powerful. And I remember pulling Russell to the side. He didn't drink. He didn't do anything. And I'm like, Russell, you gained the entire locker room today. And then we go on to win the Super Bowl the next season. Playing the quarterback position is part public relations. You got to be able to hang out with everybody. You got to be able to speak to everybody. You got to be able to lead everybody on the football team. And I think Russell wasn't that at first. But he definitely, as you can see on the screen, he's definitely grew into that role.
Well, you're a really talented guy. NFL Network analyst tonight, NFL Total Access at 7 Eastern. We've never had you on before. What a pleasure for us. Good Morning Football, our buddies over there, they do a great job on that show. Say hi to the gang over there, and great having you on. Full of insight, man. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Anytime, brother. Anytime.